And we're back on the Rule of Three.
Two comics, three topics, 10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle. We're going to be talking later about infamy. I think the second two topics are going to be about infamy. We are going to
Yeah, that's a good link.
We are going to be talking about the person who was credited with discovering something that people had found before he discovered it.
But sounds like my joke notebook.
Actually, both people were discoverers because the other one discovered that Meryl Streep was the greatest actress of all time. Harvey Weinstein, of course, is in the news, and I think we might have a few things to say about that. But first off, my little story of what I did last week. My wife got me a drone. It was just a marvelous toy, just incredible. She had heard me talking about wanting a drone because my mother got one for her. I don't know what to call the fella that she's with. He's too straight to be a partner, and he's too old to be a boyfriend. So I don't. I really don't know what to call him, but he is who he is. And she got him a drone for Christmas, and we pulled it out. It took him to Easter by the time we finally unpacked it, and he asked me to show him how to use it, and it was just so cool because it was kind of like a high end drone. It had
like the one with the little like blades on the top, like helicopter blade kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what they all are. They're quadricopters, all the drones.
Quadricopters. Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
Yeah. But they're just called drones. And the one that he got is just fantastic. It's gyroscopically controlled, has autopilot. It has a 4K camera that's actually movable and zoomable from the remote control. Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
What's the thing like that run a fella, out of curiosity?
I actually picked it up, so I know exactly. it was under $1,000, but not too much.
Oh, okay, that's a pretty piece of pretty impressive piece of machinery for under a grand.
You can actually get an app that you can actually fly it around. You can actually decide where you're going to fly it and give it a flight plan, and it'll do it automatically. It has a return function, so you if you lose it and can't see it, it's out of range. You just push it and it just comes back to you. It's gyroscopically controlled so that you can float it when you go up. It goes like a meter above the ground automatically. You just push the up button like an elevator and then just hovers there. And it's gyroscopically controlled so you can shove it and it goes right back into position.
Wow.
It just amazing, just really neat. And it had FPV goggles, which...
So you can, like, see what your drone is seeing?
Like you're riding on top of the drone. And it's and it's in 3D, so you have the depth perception as well. So when you're diving with it, it feels like you're diving. There's actually people who do drone racing. Have you heard about this?
I've seen the YouTube videos.
Yeah, just fantastic. It's like it's essentially like being in Star Wars is all I can say. It's like an X-wing fighter dogfight is all I can think of.
Yeah, I mean to use unfortunately a much worse movie, but it is kind of like your avatar.
Yeah.
When you're wearing those goggles.
Sure,
in a way.
Sure. And it was just fantastic. It was just a fantastic day playing with it out in the on the field. And I just raved about it, and so Mrs. Slagle said, "Oh, he would be so delighted if I got him a drone," and she spent $40. You know, I might have been kind of like, oh yeah, that's not what I was raving about.
Right.
But eventually, it got the best of me, and I took it outside, and it was kind of neat. It didn't have the goggles, but it has a camera on it, and it's got an SD chip in there, so it records up to 4 gigabytes of footage, and first time, I just first couple times in the basement, just till I got the got the idea of how to fly it, and I figured, okay, I've got it now, and took it out into the yard, and I took it way up so I could do a panorama of the whole neighborhood.
Sure.
And I couldn't get it down.
It's just floating up there?
Well, no. We have a few trees in our neighborhood, it seemed to want to perch in one of the trees, and just trying to negotiate around the trees to get it back down, and then I would get it to a certain point, and the wind would blow it close to a tree, and then I'd have to take it up again, and eventually, it blew into a tree, and sat there. It sat there for about 2 days. 2 days. Of trying to get it down, of going over there, I got a paintball gun and some Nerf darts to try to shoot it out of the tree. I could never throw a baseball when I was in shape to throw a baseball, and I didn't even want to try. I didn't even want to try to embarrass myself in front of the whole neighborhood of showing how unclose to how high up it was I could get the baseball. Got a frisbee, got it like a professional frisbee, went to the store, got an actual frisbee, and tried to get that out. It's actually went to the store. I got the Nerf darts. I got the frisbee. I got all this stuff. And then I'm cashing out. And I said, you know, it would have been cheaper just to get a new drone.
New drone. Yeah, I was going to say the $40 drone. I like the idea that you're just now like decorating this tree with like lost toys, like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, I tried a ball of Play-Doh in the paintball gun. I didn't want to use an actual paintball because it would have left spots on the neighbor's driveway, and I don't think they would.
Oh, sure, that's considered.
I think they would have appreciated that. But eventually, we had some good wind this weekend. It came back down.
So it also has a return function of its own, kind of.
But. It's right now I have not tried it since it came down because it rained. There was a couple days of rain, so I don't want. I didn't pack it in rice like everyone says. Pack it in rice. You got to
right.
Then there's going to be rice in it. So what I did was I tried a little more a high tech solution. I put it in the basement right in front of the dehumidifier. So the dehumidifier has been blowing on it for 3 days now to try to dry it. And from what I've heard, the longer you let it dry out, the better chance that the electronics will not be damaged. So I will at a later date, I will tell everybody whether or not the drone was rescued.
It's alive or not.
But all I could think of in the meantime is when I was a little kid, I was fascinated by radio-controlled planes.
Oh, yeah. That was, I mean, even a radio-controlled car was pretty mind-blowing. Like, the plane to me was a bridge beyond even. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I had the plane that you could operate in a circle, just around in a circle.
Oh, sure,
up
yeah.
And down. I had the gas car that didn't have any direction that you could just put it in a circle and watch it go round and round. But it was cool because it was an actual gasoline engine, and it made a lot of noise and smoke, and it was fun. Amazing to me, and I actually priced out just the equipment to actually outfit a radio controlled plane when I was a teenager was in the hundreds.
Sure.
It's and then you had to have the plane, and you pretty much had to build it yourself, and then you pretty much also had to. And now for $40, not only can I get a vehicle that I can fly around the neighborhood, I can also take pictures with it and movies, and the chip that records is 4 gigs. I remember when my buddy who was into music recording on his computer got his first 1 gig hard drive. A, he had to save up for it. B, he bragged about it weeks in advance that he was going to get a full gig hard drive in his computer tower. And to think now that in a $40 remote control drone, it actually has a 4 gig hard drive. It's four times that. Is when you look at it, if you're a geek like I am, if you were raised as a geek, you are now wealthier than you ever imagined you could be When, oh, that's a great point.
It's like, yeah, it's like you make $35,000 a year and buy all the toys you ever could have dreamed of as what you would think of as a rich guy's toys.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything. Everything. It's, I have a, with my phone, I have a Radio Shack in my back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Is everything I could have wanted at Radio Shack, I now have in my back pocket. So as far as being an electronics geek, I'm extremely wealthy. And then I think about it. I think about, well, you know, you also have the comic books are now the Hollywood, the comic cons, the people that used to make fun of the comic book nerds. They rule Hollywood. And as far as industry, the people who were the computer geeks now rule industry. They're the wealthiest industrialist in this country. It is, we are truly at a point in history where the geeks have inherited the earth.
It's peak geek.
And 10 minutes.
Yes.
And we're back on the Rule of Three. We are going to be talking in the next segment about the holiday that is today. And again, if I get this edited in time, which is highly doubtful, you'll know what day it is. But we'll probably have to identify the day that we're celebrating today. But before that, somebody who is not celebrating today is Harvey Weinstein. He, for those of you who don't know, he is probably one of the, probably might be the most powerful producer in Hollywood.
It's, I would say so. I mean, yeah. I mean, maybe Spielberg would be like the only other option I could think of.
Yeah, yeah. And the reason why he's well, it's a. Let's go to the reason why we're bringing him up.
Sure.
If you've stayed away from the news, you might not realize that he's got involved himself in a little bit of sexual harassment problems. And it's
or, to say the least.
or as it's called in California, Hollywood.
Yeah, I mean, and it's classic old school creeper casting couch stuff. I mean, it's like, you know, we're talking about drones in the last segment, and there's something extremely lo-fi about Harvey Weinstein's creepiness, you know, or, you know, it's just like, you want to be in my movie? You know? It's like, every bad thing you thought Hollywood was, you're like, yep, there he is. It's all collected in this one guy.
You think it's just him?
Oh, no, but I think he's – I'm sure there's other creeps for sure, but I do think he's king creep.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when this story broke, I was like – I mean, I don't mean to minimize it by saying like, oh, whatever. I just meant like, oh, yeah, of course.
I don't know if it's purposeful, but it occurred to me when they started talking about why he was so powerful. Is it essentially he kind of latched on to the independent films, the mm-hmm. ones that the major studios didn't want to do, the ones that usually have a short run straight to DVD, but get high critical acclaim. And there's been a tendency, I don't know when it started, probably about the same time as the Transformers franchise, but maybe a little before, but if you wanted an Oscar, you had to be in a film that nobody saw.
This is before that. I mean, Ryan, he hit the indie boom right at the end of the Sex Lies and Videotape kind of launches the indie movie revolution, as it were.
Uh-huh.
But Harvey was basically in big with Tarantino, and so Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs were Weinstein Company movies, and I mean those made so much money. And then he was very smart and was able to, I mean, undeniably, you know, seize this angle when other people weren't appreciating it, and is good at buying movies on the cheap and packaging them. And then he also turns out to be masterful at campaigning for Oscars. He's kind of the Frank Luntz of campaigning for Oscars. He has like a weird specific talent.
Huh.
And it's kind of regarded as truth. I don't know how much of it's his own myth-making, but, you know, he kind of bullied Shakespeare in Love into winning Oscars when most people were like, yeah, okay. But it was sort of through sheer force of will and marketing that he kind of transformed that movie into something that people – thought they cared about for about 10 minutes.
But it's been that way for a number of years now. If you wanted to win an Oscar, you had to be in an indie film. It seems that almost all the Oscars are given to movies that no one sees. And
oh, yeah, and I wonder how far that goes back. I mean, at least the early 90s. I don't know if maybe even into the 80s as well.
Yeah, but his career rose with that.
Mm-hmm.
With that, and of course, you know, once you have that, you know, that your films are the ones that you have the Oscar winning films, everybody wants to do your films. And
sure. it becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, I think.
Right. Yeah. And that's what he rose to the top. And apparently ultimate power corrupts ultimately. When you get in that sort of position, I think we mentioned this before, we might not have, but it's one of my favorite things that I've noticed is every person who starts getting messages from God, the first thing God tells them is that he needs to sleep with 13-year-old girls.
Oh, yeah, God's weird like that. He's a real kinkster, that God.
And it's I guess once you achieve a certain amount of power, that you no longer feel that you have to act human.
And you know what's interesting, by the way? God never tells anybody, you are not that important. Never.
Well, actually, if you listen to the word of God, that's all over that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. The stuff that he wrote down.
The actual word of God, you know, if you're not really actually getting the messages in the middle of the night.
Right. I'm talking about the audiobook version. Yeah.
So apparently he abused his position of power, and the women who did we'll never know how many women he harassed, because a lot of people a lot of women might have actually gotten in the shower and started washing his back.
Oh yeah, and who knows? Yeah, and the numbers and people are still afraid of him, even as he's being deposed. People are still afraid of him. This whole thing to me has been a real like layer cake of cynicism, where it's just like there's just layers of villainy on top of villainy, you know, where it's like, so you got this guy being a creep, and then nobody wants to out him because he's so powerful, and then they do, and then they won't, and then people who are happy to defend Donald Trump for being creepy will then try to play Harvey Weinstein as a thing, but then people who would critique Trump won't critique that, and then to me the top layer of the cynicism cake was Lisa Bloom, Gloria Allred's daughter, she and her mother love to position themselves as these social crusaders who care so much about the issues, except they only care about issues that get them in the news. And Lisa Bloom, oh, I'm going to represent Harvey and help him learn better about his ways. Ooh, I'm going to rehabilitate him. Except for, oh, it turns out Lisa Bloom's first strategy was to discredit the accusers. And her payment was that Harvey Weinstein was going to make a movie out of her book. Well, it really is. Well, there's turducken of cynicism.
There's two things on that. Number one, there are two set of rules for sexual harassment. Is if you are a liberal, it's kind of okay. If you're not, it is a heinous crime. Is Clarence Thomas was cornered for allegedly saying that there was a hair on a Coke can, whereas Bill Clinton was, you know, everyone does it. There really are two sets of rules, and Donald Trump, you bragged a little bit about what he did. Well, now, and it's like, you know, well, he's unfit to be president, but you know, then Harvey Weinstein. We find out that, well, he actually, went a little bit further, and it's like, that's just Harvey. Just don't be make sure you have another person in the room with him when you're meeting with him.
I think you're like half right. I don't disagree with you, but I think it's also a little overstated. Like, I think the cynicism runs so deep where people who genuinely don't really care about it only because he's a lefty, and they're not even mad about the issue, and they're mad about the double standard, which I think is the wrong thing to be mad about. But I don't disagree with you. There's some kind of double standard. And And one of the things that I think is the biggest bummer about Trump being president, as I've heard a couple people be like, including this about, not to bring a whole other issue, that Cam Newton saying dumb stuff about women, saying, well, I mean, it's not like he's the president or something, that like it does kind of lower the bar so much when the president is a sleaze that it's hard not to argue in a way with the bad logic of, well, if the president's a sleaze, you can't expect more from blank, which I don't believe at all. And it just because one person's a creep doesn't make Harvey not a creep.
Yeah.
He's a super creep.
Yeah. No, I what's interesting, though, is everyone said, well, everyone knew it for like 30 years. And it's a friend of ours was postulating, why now? What the heck happened that all of a sudden it cascaded out? And our speculation, we kind of went back and forth on this. Our speculation is that Malia Obama interned with him.
Oh, surely, and he wouldn't be dumb enough to.
I don't know. You know, at a certain point, when you've gotten away with a lot of stuff, you might want to see how much you can get away with.
Huh? That's interesting. Because I mean, we're about to run out of time here, but what literally sparked it was the New York Times and the New Yorker turned out to be basically working on competing articles at the same time and were rushing to see who could get theirs out first.
Right,
but why? But yeah, but I totally see what you're saying. It's like, why did they suddenly both have these articles?
Oh, and I got to go back here. The thing about Lisa Bloom, what I was going to say is, the All Red Bloom organization tends to lean to the left. Yeah. However, it's on Weinstein's part. It was brilliant because by hiring Lisa Bloom, she can now no longer represent any of the women that accuse him.
Oh, kind of like the guy who calls all the divorce lawyers for a consult just so his wife can't use the lawyers because he's technically divested himself of information?
Exactly.
Interesting. Well,
which means he's guilty as hell.
Hey, that seems like a great spot to leave the segment right there. And on the final segment of Rule of Three, today is a big question mark holiday. Today is a holiday, and I didn't remember it was a holiday until you reminded me. And then my initial reaction, which amused you a bit, was, ooh, I can park for free today. Which is about all this holiday is worth, as far as I'm concerned. Today is Columbus Day. I've always thought the weakest of all the holidays. I mean, President's Day is vague. You're like, all of them? That's a pretty broad holiday.
Well, it wasn't always President's Day.
No, it was. Wasn't it Washington's birthday first or something?
It was both. It was both Washington and Lincoln were born in February.
Right.
So when I was a kid growing up, there was a Lincoln's birthday and a Washington's birthday. I can't remember if the mail was not delivered on both of those days. And eventually it was merged into one. It was merged into one for the purpose of federal holidays for three-day weekends for government employees. That's whether or not there was 2 3-day weekends in February at one point, I do not know. But
sure. I think we should definitely, the whole country should admit that the only holidays that really count outside of Halloween are the ones that get you off work.
Yeah.
Any holiday that doesn't get you off work is an adjunct holiday at best, with the exception of Halloween. I mean, like St. Patrick's Day, okay, you know, it's fine, but you got to work, right?
Well, I don't know if banks and post offices closed today?
The post office is definitely closed.
Okay,
parking's free in Minneapolis. Banks tend to close. I feel like banks always close.
Yeah,
they're closed for anything.
Yeah.
Well, of course, the most only people in Illinois would appreciate an even more second tier holiday, which is Casimir Pulaski Day, celebrated in exactly one state in the union. You tell your friends from out of state, yeah, no school today, Pulaski Day. And like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. It's Chicago is so diverse. They had to give everyone one. But the Irish don't get there. St. Patrick's Day, yeah, you can't have that. That's not secular.
But yeah, in fairness, those guys are drunk most days at work anyway, so every day is kind of a holiday when you're Irish. And I can say that because I'm married into an Irish family. Some of my best wives are Irish.
You are now Irish by proxy.
Yes, I am.
So Columbus Day is it's a bigger holiday in Canada. Are you aware of this?
No.
Columbus really? Day, yes, Columbus Day in Canada is Thanksgiving.
Oh, because their harvest season is earlier too, which makes sense.
Well, I don't know if it's that. I think that our Thanksgiving was originally on Columbus Day too.
Oh,
I believe so. I could be wrong on that, but I believe it was. It wasn't moved until the last Thursday in November, until I think it was Roosevelt. I would have to look it up.
Well, I thought Thanksgiving was actually not even. I think Thanksgiving, for the most part, was basically created with Roosevelt. Like, modern Thanksgiving is actually modern as hell. Like, it was a very much like, yeah, whatever, Harvest Day. And then the whole turkey, big dinner thing is a very modern creation. I think it was during the Depression.
Well, yeah, it's because it's the kickoff for the Christmas season. And it was done to inspire retail. To start Christmas shopping, to get ready for Christmas. I mean, that was the purpose. I mean, the Friday in between the Thursday and the Saturday was originally designed as a retail holiday. It nowhere near to the extent where it is today, but that's what the modern Thanksgiving was. But they still, in Canada, they still celebrate the turkey and everything today. And it makes sense too, because I remember pictures of the first Thanksgiving, and it was pilgrims and Indians sitting at picnic tables, and I would always, every year, I would say, God, how could they sit on a picnic table on a day like today?
Oh, sure.
But today, I could sit outside and eat turkey and corn.
Oh yeah, it's nice here in Minneapolis. Yeah. It's nice, 65.
Right.
Yeah,
I could absolutely. So that makes when I found that out, that it was actually moved into November, so it would be, you know, could be lumped into Christmas. When I found that out, it clarified many things for me. But I do think that Thanksgiving goes back. I think it's seamless. I don't think that there was. And in Columbus Day, that might have been where it came. I don't know if Columbus was honored before Thanksgiving, or maybe he was part of the Thanksgiving Day celebration, which would make sense. You know, the pilgrims, they would celebrate, you know, their providence. It was not just, you know, they weren't just the way we talk about it now is that the pilgrims thanked the Indians for saving them, for teaching them how to plant in the new world.
That was definitely how I was taught to me in grade school, for sure.
Yeah, it was their providence. It was actually that they found a place where they could worship freely, and something different actually. And a lot of people don't realize this, is that the Mayflower Compact was the first attempt at socialism, and it's the reason why the Pilgrims starved for the first 2 years, because they had a commonwealth. But they figured out, they said, let's give everyone their own piece of property and let them farm it. And the ownership, or the private ownership of the property, was the reason why they survived. It wasn't Squanto showing them how to put corn inside of a fish and burying it. it was the industriousness of property owners, and that was what they were celebrating, was the providence where they could worship freely, and figured out how to be a prosperous society. And from what I understand, that was pretty much seamless, that had always been celebrated. And of course, they would celebrate Columbus on a day like that as well, because he showed them where they could go. You know, he told the Puritans where they could go.
Yeah.
Which is funny, wasn't too, the last one to do it either.
Classic American exceptionalism. It never occurred to me that, like, Columbus discovered Canada, too. I mean, that's so dumb, but I never really thought about it. But, like, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, there wasn't a big delineation between the two back in the day. It was
I don't think he got further than the Dominican Republic, though, did he?
No, but I just mean that he just, yeah. like, technically speaking, if you discovered America, you discovered Canada, you know, by yeah, law sure. of connection.
So well, yeah.
You know, I think what's interesting to me is that it's, you know, the reason that Columbus Day has they have a hard time squashing it, even though it's sort of an unappealing legacy in a lot of ways, is that, you know, there's a sort of secondary political correctness factor here, which is that it's a really big deal in the Italian communities because it's really the only Italian holiday. It's true. I mean, not in Italy, but here.
Outside of pasta, which they borrowed from the Chinese, what other achievements have... even Galileo didn't figure out the orbits of the planets. He was working off of Copernicus.
Yeah.
So it's what else have Italians contributed?
I'm telling you, they created opera. I'm going to see Don Ziely's Don Pascal this weekend. I'm celebrating Italian heritage.
The greatest Italian achievement was sweet talking a Spanish woman.
That's a pretty good achievement. Ooh, you know what? We should give the Italians Mario Brothers Day. That's a way more identifiable character.
I don't even know how that's allowed to exist in a politically correct world. Good Lord.
Hey,
if we got to get rid of Chief Wahoo, we got to get rid of Mario.
And Chef Boyardee.
Anyway, I think.
Columbus Day is one of those things, like, I understand why some people get mad about it. And I understand on either side, and maybe this is my white privilege showing, but I just cannot be inclined to care. You know, like, I can't get my dander up on either side of, like, protect Italian heritage. Oh, he was a jerk.
Yeah.
It's like, the mail doesn't run today. That's about it.
It's oh, crap, I might bounce a check because I can't get to the bank in time.
Yeah. That's how Italian. That's But do you have any Columbus Day affinities?
No.
Or I mean, neither. It's like, it's funny. It's like, I think sometimes the best thing to not care about some things is the best thing you can say. You know, you're like, good. You're living your life right if you don't care about things that don't matter to you.
Well, what does matter to me? It would keep these under 10 minutes.
Indeed. All right. We'll see you. Oh, yeah. So we should do the Twitter. Yeah. So, look up all the episodes at the website, my website, Real Brian, or at Twitter at Real Brian Miller, BrianMillerComedy.com. You can find all the episodes there.
And TimSlegel.com is my website, at Tim Slegel. Also iTunes and several other places, I think.
Leave us a review, too, yeah. Please.
Something.
I know you're listening. I know you're listening, certain people.
All 50 of you.
I know who bunch of you are. Leave a review.
And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.